Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Afterlife voicemail system. If you're trying to reach heaven, please press 1. For Yahweh, press 2. For Muhammad, press 3. If you're trying to reach Nirvana, you're going about it all wrong, so we certainly can't help you. If you'd just like to leave a message, wait for the beep.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Collective. First show of the new year. I'm very excited for our upcoming shows and episodes. And I would like to take a moment to thank everyone who has been listening, calling in, sharing your stories. Joey's not here tonight, or he might come in at some point, but he has to work. And we all understand we got to make the money. So all of January is going to be about vampirism and vampires because I'm obsessed with vampirism, have been since I was a wee child. So I kind of want to explore the mythology, the legends, the fiction, the reason why we're still obsessed in the 21st century with vampires. I definitely would love to take calls. And our guest call-in number is 516-387-1909. If you call in, depending on how many people actually call in, we'll determine the amount of time you can have on air. I definitely, I welcome anyone to give me some of their stories, the reasons why they love vampires, some of your favorite stories of vampire origins. Another thing I would like to just, our chat is actually, it's not working at this moment, so I do apologize for that. But usually there's going to be a chat room open if it works, bear in mind. But yeah, you're welcome to even tell stories in chat, and I can relay them to on air if you're not very comfortable with, calling in. But, our vision, my vision for the show is for people to call in. It is the collective. I want people to come and host if they feel inclined. I want people to call in. Share their stories, be crazy. You don't have to have a professional background in broadcasting or speaking in public. It's basically you're calling in and talking to friends, and that's how I want it to be. I want everyone to be comfortable. So getting on to the dark kiss and the world of vampirism, I guess I would like to start out with kind of the origins or folklore. Legends of vampires have actually been around since the dawn of, cube form writing, Sumerians, things of that sort. Hebrews, ancient Greeks, and Romans have tales of demonic entities that suck blood. Of course, they vary at some point, but it's just a very odd sensation to me when I look into the origins of vampires and how, since the dawn of man, we've literally had some kind of story that connects, us with vampirism. So let's see if there's anyone calling in. Okay. One of the vampire folklore, myth creation stories that I personally enjoy is the Cain and Abel story. I'm sure this is from The Masquerade, but I still like it. And I think it could be a very interesting story, of course. Cain kills Abel, his brother, and is banished from God and from that he becomes cursed to take blood of man because he, I guess, you know, was the first murderer. That's always a very interesting concept to me. We also have Lilith, who was the wife of Adam, first wife in Jewish folklore, who basically didn't want to be on bottom. She wanted to ride, and I guess that was a sin, and she was not being obedient. So they basically, God kicks her out of Eden. She is then pretty much given the chance to become a demon and drink the blood of infants, which is, I guess, what they would correlate with, you know, SIDS and other things of that sort. Like, you know, your infant dies. Well, it must have been Lilith. I think that's interesting as well. Let me see. Looking through my notes, I do apologize. Yeah, even Egypt has some gods who were bloodthirsty. Aztecs have gods who were bloodthirsty who, you know, drank the blood from the heart as they were sacrificed. So there's so many connections. I don't know, I've always found vampirism to be so predominant in major cultures, ancient to present, that what's the common thread to that? You know, is it just merely an idolized, or is it something else? Is there some kind of vampirism, or were there at one point some kind of demon spirit possession / supernatural side to that? And so, you know, I'm always on the fence with vampirism. I'm pretty much Mulder and Scully together. I have my moments of, clarity and belief. And then I have my moments of doubt and suspicion. So I'm always on the fence with that. I'm trying to get chat up for you guys. It is not working today. But yeah, I would love for anyone to call in. You know, we can talk about one of your favorite vampire creation stories would be. I would love to hear them. So our guest call-in number is 516-387-1909. Or you can Skype as well. We should be able to pick you up from there. I guess I can kind of go into some of the, medieval and, early modern Europe. Clearly, that's, the birthplace of Dracula and that origin, which, Dracula was pretty badass. I will say, as a person, take the vampirism out of it, he was just a badass guy. I would, anybody who's interested in history and warfare and things of that sort, I would definitely pick up a bio about him and kind of read about that, because he was very good into the fear factor of war and the psychological aspects of staking somebody and having a field of people on stakes slowly dying. And, I can understand how that was transformed into, modern day Dracula and things of that sort. So, but just him as a person was pretty awesome. I know they've recently been digging up some corpses of supposed vampires from the 16th, 17th century, where they were shoving bricks in their mouths, I suppose, to keep them from biting. That's very interesting. And I would love to go into that field because I think, you know, there's so much interesting things you can do from is not working. Poor people. So I think chat's down. I've been messing with it for 5 minutes. It's not going to come up. And that sucks. So I can actually kind of go into some personal stories about vampirism. I guess I could share since I'm on the soap opera box tonight. My obsession, I suppose, started very young because my first, like, real big crush was when I was about 5 and I saw Beetlejuice and I was, like, in love with Beetlejuice. So that probably tells you how demented I was at a young age because that movie did not scare me. I thought it was, like, the most amazing thing ever, and my mom made me a little Beetlejuice doll, and I used to come around and introduce him as my boyfriend. So I pretty much like dead men from the beginning. From there, I think I probably saw Lost Boys, and that was at the same age. Pretty young to be watching those kind of movies, but I guess I was mature enough mentally to not be scared of them. I saw Lost Boys, and I was like, wow, that is awesome. From there, Anne Rice, of course, was a big influence. Read her. I saw Interview with the Vampire when it first came out. I was about 10. And from there, it was just, you know, Poppy Zebright, a lot of authors influenced me. And then I got into, of course, the actual folklore and researching sightings and accounts, and I still do. I have files upon files on my computer, or I did. Oh, whoops, we got a call. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, what's up, Joey?
I'm full of meat.
Yay! I am full of blood. No, I'm joking.
I lost all my blood.
So, how was your night?
Oh, not too bad.
Not too bad. I was telling everybody of our, I guess, of my obsession, how it started. So, how did your obsession with vampires start? Because I know you're obsessed, too.
Oh, totally. probably, I want to say the first, like, vampire book I ever read, I was in school, and it was Memnock, and that's still probably my favorite vampire book, I guess. And then I started getting into everything, and then, of course, I guess the obsession really began with the stupid-looking laugh.
I was going to try to avoid bringing up the looking glass, but, you know, what the hell. I guess it was a part of our obsession.
Well, we don't have to talk about it. Let's just say that was the beginning of the crazy obsession.
Yes.
And,
it did
you know,
spark.
I have, like, you see all these shows on TV, all these, not just the paranormal shows, but the ones that do the way out there stuff, that they have all these accounts that they've found from around the country and around the world. I'm always trying to find it, and I can't find the accounts. Like, people are like, oh, well, all this happened in New Orleans. And then I look, and I can't find anything about weird things in New Orleans other than the regular weird things. And then, of course, I have my therapist saying, oh, there really are things in New Orleans. You don't want to see that. I'm like, what the hell?
You have the coolest therapist. I must say, I would,
we talk
you
about
know.
Some strange things.
I know you have, I don't know how comfortable you are, but, you know, I kind of gone over, you know, the origin stories. What's
no.
one of your
yeah.
favorites
yeah.
that you think is perhaps, like, real or, you know, one of your favorites?
Probably the whole White Wolf thing with Kane. And even the things where people say in certain versions of Christianity where it says Lilith is the original, and, you know, I want to know where the very first origin story started, because basically everything in the Hebrew Bible comes from older stories than that. But I've not really looked into anything other than like that they're actually, I don't know if there was any sort of like blood cults or things like that in Egypt, but you know about the Assyrians and the things that they follow.
Mm.
But I want to know what was the very first story. And, you know, every story, you know, every fictitious story like that comes from a grain of truth, I guess. And I'd
sure,
like to
sure.
know about the truth. But I'm afraid that if I knew the truth, I may not. I either wouldn't live to see tomorrow, or I would see tomorrow night instead of tomorrow during the day.
Yeah, I mean, they basically, it's Isis. She's the mother of all vampires. That she has four different offspring. And that whole lineage and story is actually, I read that, and even if it's, you know, fictitious and doesn't have any kind of truth to it, other than it's a great freaking story. Like, I wish someone would take that and expand it into a book series. I might do that. No one stole my idea. But, yeah, I just, you know, I definitely like the, you know, I think the Cain, yeah, like you said, I think that's from, like, the Mask Vampire, the Masquerade. But I still think it's pretty awesome. Then you have the one that's, like, Judas. Judas is the first vampire, which kind of makes a lot of sense with, you know, he sold Jesus out for silver and committed suicide, and so he was forever banished to, like, walk the earth. That's kind of the...
There's this great vampire series that you should read. It's by Christopher Golden. It's called The Shadow Saga. It originally starts out as a vampire series. It pretty much ends up to where I've finished the latest book, to where all the vampires left on Earth are sucked into this hell dimension. So it's in the beginning of the stories, basically, in the first book, vampires are only afraid of sunlight and can only turn into certain things because that's what the church has instilled into them over the centuries. Once all the truth comes out that they can pretty much turn into literally anything, like the second book, there's a guy who's all mysterious throughout. His name's John Courage. And it turns out, I don't know if he's the first vampire, but the things that the original vampires are from hell, they're demons, and John Courage is like the body of Jesus. Like, the spirit left him, but before he died, like, he was bitten by one of those things. So that's a really, really different take on everything, and that's a really cool series, especially the first few books.
I'll have to definitely write that down and put it on my list of books to read. And my question to you is, what do you think we as a 21st century, you know, we're still obsessed with vampires? Do you think it's the immortality and the power that kind of, you know, will always be something we wish as mortals to obtain? So that's why we always, you know, invoke the image of a vampire. Do you think that's true? What do you think? What do you think, you know, is the seduction?
Well, I think honestly that didn't become a thing really until Anne Rice's book started. Like, people saw, like, Christopher Lee playing Dracula, and they're like, oh, yeah, he's kind of hot and all this. But it wasn't until books like The Chronicles popped up to where people, well, I'm sure that before that there were people who it was the immortality thing. They thought, or, you know, they can seduce any woman they want. But unfortunately, here recently, I think that's been overshadowed by all these fake-ass teeny bopper things. But there's always going to be that core thing to where no one wants to die. Everyone would love to live forever, and they think they can do so many things. But then you have that other part where there is that certain group, and, you know, I'm pretty sure I've thought about this before. It's the part about, would you be one who feeds on the bad guys, or would you just, like, lose yourself into the bloodlust? And for me, I think that for myself personally, this day and age, when I think about it, it's living forever and never aging, if that's how it goes. Because it would suck to just keep aging forever and just be like a pile of bones.
Yeah, that would suck. Yeah, I definitely think Anne Rice. You know, we have Dracula, and that was kind of a romantic. It was somewhat romantic, but Dracula was a badass, and he was evil, and he turned into a bat, like just like Dr. Phil. And
yeah.
Dr. Phil might be Dracula. I'm saying this right now, so someone should mark it down, because when we find out, he is a blood-sucking, you know, vampire. I knew first. We brought this to you first on air right now.
If that's immortality, I don't want it.
Yeah, I know, right? I think Anne Rice did, you know, change the genre of vampires from monster to the monster that you could possibly date. And then it, in this, you know, 2000s with the Twilight books, it became the high school sweetheart that has fangs. And, you know, it's continued to go downhill since then. Hopefully we can scribble that out. Teenage vampires don't need to be a thing. I like my vampires to be somewhat relatable, but I want them to also be monsters, because this whole, you know, I'm, you know, unsure of myself and I feel bad every time. No, I want someone to be a monster. That's what you are. Embrace it. Don't be a Dr. Phil.
A vampire should be a cross between the ones in 30 Days of Night and Dracula. Bloodthirsty, but kind of approachable.
Kind of approachable. Yeah. So, you know, definitely, you know, I think people like the fact that they can fantasize. And also with the seduction part, I think there's a element of playing with death. You know, it's being seduced, knowing that you might die, that sort of kind of dance with the devil is pretty attractive to people. I think that's why vampires will always be, even more so, will be popular. And I feel bad for upcoming generations. I hope there's someone who can be like an Anne Rice. Unfortunately, I don't think she can at this point, but someone needs to come in and rewrite the whole vampire scene and get it back to the classic vampire who's undead and loving it. I think that's an actual movie. But anyways.
It is. Leslie Nielsen's in it. It's funny. Dracula dead and loving it.
So, you know, something like that.
There are authors out there writing the extremely graphic horror vampire stories. I can't remember the name of the guy, but he's got a vampire series where the vampires are not good. The FBI is trying to destroy them, and it's just a wild and crazy story, and it's really, really bloody and graphic.
That's awesome. I support that kind of genre. And by the way, while we're here, so I got a mysterious email Joey, from a guy who claims to be immortal, and he lives in New Orleans. So I've been trying to coax him into, you know, coming on and telling his story, perhaps next show that we have, because next show I want to do people call in with their experiences, or if they're vampires themselves, kind of, you know, share who they are and what they are. But he will not, but he says he will meet us in New Orleans and do an interview at that
Where
point.
Is he going to meet us at? It has to be in public, like a restaurant.
Yeah, I know, right?
We're
going to
meet in the back of this dark alley on a Thursday night at 2 a.m.
So, I mean, I'm excited, and hopefully we can do like a mini show. Or possibly videotape it if he's okay with it. I'm excited.
Look at it like this. If we're killed, just think of how popular the podcast will become.
I know, right? Especially if we have it on
tape. Well, I plan on becoming immortal. I don't know about you. You can become my chew toy or something.
No, I think I'll pass. Vampirism is, you know, great to think about, but
I didn't say I was going to turn you. I'm going to make you my Renfield.
Oh, I don't want that either. I'm sure there's
I'll supply you with lots of bugs to eat.
my hatred for cockroaches. Anyways.
You'll learn to love them.
So when we go to New Orleans this summer-ish, we're going to have a meeting with a very mysterious man who claims he's an immortal vampire.
I'm going to buy lots of leather outfits from work so I'll fit right in.
Yeah, I'm excited. I have a couple other people that might actually, hopefully someone calls in next week and kind of can go over our crazy personal experience stories. So I have a couple. They'll absolutely shock the world.
On a serious note, I really would love to have a in-depth, realistic conversation with someone like the guy you're talking about. I think that, you know, we joke around a lot, but a lot of the people that have called in and told some really scary and crazy stories that are, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, they're not real, because they sound believable, and I believe in the things that the people who have called in and talked about. There's lots of things we don't know in the world. And if someone can tell me a story like that and have me on the edge of my seat, I'm going to believe you. Maybe I'm gullible, but I want to hear.
Yeah, well, reality is, you know, 90% perception. So, you know, we're not here to make fun at all. We might joke a little bit and some jest, but no, I would love for someone to come on and share to everyone their story. So we got to wrap this up. We got 60 seconds. Joey, I appreciate you coming on. Appreciate everybody who is listening. Please like, share, get us out there on any kind of social media. We'll be back next Saturday with an awesome show. Hopefully people call in, share their personal stories. And I guess I'd wish everyone a safe night, and don't let the vampires bite.